Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, traders and investors, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Thinkorswim. I'm Spencer Israel, as always, here with Joel Elkonen and Dennis Dick. We got 13F day today. We're going to talk about what Carl Icahn, Warren Buffett. Maybe we'll mention Tepper and Ackman's new stakes as well. We're also going to cover some earnings. We got HD, JD, Dix, TJX all reporting, some new ratings to discuss, and of course we will get to that rally in the shippers and what is going on there. At 8:35 we'll be joined by Nick Shaheen. He's our resident options expert and the author of Create Income with Option Spreads on MarketFi. Joel, how are we doing in the S&Ps on this lovely morning?
About a little over 11-point range, knocked on the door of Friday's high, got turned back at 2169.75, so keep an eye on the 2170 level. On the downside, still holding that double close, 6050, 6150, that's key, as well as the pre-market low. Crude getting a little boost. I mean, what do you do after crude goes down 6, 7, 8, 9 days? If you're OPEC, you come out and you talk about supply cuts, and that's exactly what happened. Little bit of a rebound, a lot of a rebound here, up $1.29. Gold and silver trying to get their footing after just getting shellacked over the last couple days. Good morning, Dennis. How you doing in this pre-market session?
Still fighting that cold here a little bit, but looking at a lot of individual market movers. You come in here, you see the S&P futures up only $1, and you think, wow, what a quiet morning. I'll tell you, it has been none of that, because you have some stocks going straight up, you have some stocks going straight down. This is a very interesting morning, to say the least. And you know, you're seeing the banks pull back here a little bit. You did have a downgrade that you notified me to, Guggenheim downgrading Bank of America here today. But maybe a little bit of profit taking in some sectors, because we know the banks have been going straight up, and we know some of the defensive yield names have been going straight down. It looks a little bit of opposite day to that today.
And you did have a little insider selling in Morgan Stanley. I noticed that one of the chairmen, I believe, or someone in the company sold some stock on this monster rally. Quick technicals on Bank America, got that close over $20. I believe that was like the first time since 2008, 2009. Close to 2008. I don't think you can really look for any major downside until you take out yesterday's low of 1940, then it gapped all the way down to 1903.
Let's jump into some individual movers here from yesterday before we jump into the earnings stocks, because it was absolutely crazy in some of these shippers. Like, if you just look, this is just the epitome of how crazy this market is. You get stocks like dry ships that have been going down forever. And I mean, this thing has reverse split so many times. When you go up to the monthlies, this looks like a blip on the chart. Even going to 2015, this was a $5,000 stock, because it's done so many reverse splits here. Stock, though, 3 days ago was $4. Looks like it's going to go off the board, probably worthless. Well, maybe it still does that, but this is a big blip here on the short-term chart, I tell you, because this is one reason why, you know, and here's a lesson for you, why I don't short stocks under $5. This can happen. Stuff like this is just crazy, but it can happen. And you get a, you know, a float, you get a stock you can't borrow, combined with, you know, just, you know, a crazy market, and everybody wants to jump on board on one side of the trade. And dry ships goes up 3 days ago, it goes from 5 to 15, everybody thinks the move is crazy. The next day it goes to $18. Yesterday, it just decides to go to $44.90. So we're talking about a stock going up 1,000% in 3 days. That is unbelievable.
I don't even know. Should I even give any technicals on this, Dennis?
I don't even think it matters. I don't even know if levels – I mean, you could say your whole number is $50. Okay, it takes out 50. You look at 60. I mean, these things are just – but it is pulling back here this morning. We are seeing a reversal of the trend a little bit here just early, but we saw that a couple days ago, and then the trend just continues anyways. But I'm not stepping out here calling the top on something like this. This thing can just basically trade anywhere. I was watching the trade yesterday. A lot of times it was trading with a two-point spread. So you're looking at a stock like 38 to 40, 100 by 100. There's no liquidity out there. There's no liquidity. combined with not being able to borrow the stock at 10% short interest. If you were short this thing 3 days ago, you were just buried. I mean, like, you're thinking about, like, oh, blowing out your account, you know, getting another mortgage on your house. I don't know. Like, if you're short this thing 1,000% 2 days, I feel sorry for you, actually, because it's probably not really deserved to go up like this, but crazy markets, crazy things happen.
And absolutely no fundamental reason behind this move, then, correct?
Not really, no. And if you look at the other shippers, this one is the one that's really moved. It kind of started the party here, but the other ones are moving, too. EGLE is another one. Eagle Bulk, it was $4 4 days ago, $9.15 it got up to, so going up over 100%. SHIP, I did play this one a little bit because they were getting crazy yesterday. I bought this at 260. I sold it after hours at 295. I guess I should have held it. It's already up at 320 here. But $2, I thought, well, you know, the other one's got crazy. Maybe this one starts to get a little bit more crazy. TOPS is another one also, SINO. So there's a few of these out there, and they are all a little bit insane. None as insane as DRYS, though.
You know, and I think if you try and think fundamentally, if we're going to impose all these tariffs and everything, and we're not going to be importing anything from anybody everywhere because we're going to make everything here, then why do you need shippers? I mean, you know, I mean, just for the outbound stuff. Is that it? Because nothing's going to be coming in the country at all. Nothing from China, Turkey, Russia, nowhere.
I don't think you can fundamentally even think about these moves. I don't think it has anything to do with fundamentals. It has everything to do with just one-directional moves to the extreme. And if anybody was shorting these things, if you were able to even get a locate here, I mean, this is insane. 2-3 days ago, $4. I'm just looking at even the intraday of dry ships here. You know, there's moves in there of like 10, 12 points straight up. Like, if you were just fading that and you actually got a borrow to fade it, man, you get buried in a hurry. And the thing to learn here, like, people will look at this and this is what they get attracted to. The market gets naturally attracted to this kind of stuff. This stuff, when I trade something like this, it's just gambling to me. I can't tell you where this is going to go. This thing could go to 50, 60. I think when the dust settles and we look at this, and I often say this 6 months from now, it's probably back down to $5 or $10 because the bubble will burst. But who knows when it bursts? I mean, I can't short 42 and it goes to 50 or 100. And you got to put it in perspective. You can say, what a move for dry ships. But this thing, you know, has had so many reverse splits just going back to the middle of 2014. So a year and a half ago, it's $4,000. 2009 was $12,000 a share. So can it go to 50 or 100? It can do anything. It could go back to 5. It could go up to 100 before. It could go to 200 before that. It could really go anywhere. So I'm not going to even try to predict where this thing is going to go. It's way out of my wheelhouse. And if this is your bread and butter and this is what you like to trade, you know, we got like Timothy Sykes out there. They like to talk and pump these stocks. I'll tell you, though, my 17-year trading experience, and I have made millions of physical trades, I have never been able to consistently make money at this kind of stuff. And there's a reason for that. And I think the reason is that I can't consistently make money going to the casino and putting my money on red or black. I'll get on a streak and I'll make some money, you know, maybe you make 3, 4, or 5 times in a row, you have a good night at the casino, but long term, I lose money here. And if you're looking at these stocks, and this is, you know, trying to make your living off of this, it's really difficult to do. There is some professional gamblers that make money at the casino. There's probably some professional traders that make money trading this kind of stuff. This is not my cup of tea, and I'm not even going to try to speculate on how to trade this. And if you're beginning and learning how to trade, this is not the place to learn how to trade.
The all-time high, 788,040, and this was back in the middle of 2007. So get your order maybe out at 700,000 instead of
700. That's the all-time high, $700,000 a share.
78. I mean, on this platform, on Thinkorswim,
does it even go that many zeros?
788,040. So yeah, once again, I mean, you know, be speculative, I guess, on this other chart here. I don't even want to look at all these. I mean, nobody even knows what the actual price is of such reverse splits. But, Dennis, I really think you made a good point there. And, you know, just, yeah, Ace brings up K-Bio. That was like the
that
only,
is.
That's
it's
all
K-Bio
I could think
all
of.
Over again.
Yep.
Ace, great analogy there. I mean, we went from 3 to 40 or something on K-Bio. And we know at the end of the day, 3 months later, K-Bio basically went out of business, went off the board. So, you know, but if you're coming in here shorting these things, how do you know, hold through all that? And what if it doesn't? I mean, what if it does stay? You know, you got to consider where it was. I mean, so that's why I can't trade this kind of
Can I
stuff.
give you one tip on this? And not, obviously I'm not going to be trading this puppy, and you can't even short the stock. But I think a key thing for KBio when this happened is you got the bump up in volume. Okay, so everybody's in right now. Everyone's long. Once you get the volume tapering off and a little bit of consolidation, then the buyers are gone, and then it's going to fall. What did it trade? 100 million yesterday, or even more than that? No.
Yeah, and what's the float? Like, you know, you're talking, so get the volume there, Joel, and I'm gonna go see what the float is on this
10
thing.
million. It traded.
It's 10 million shares. The float is 15 million shares. So it's trading almost the float. Yeah, $14 million company here now, 10% short interest. Those are the people I feel sorry for. But again, like I've said this on the show before, I don't like shorting stocks under $5 because there is these violent squeezes that can happen in this kind of stuff, and that is one violent squeeze.
Yeah, I hope none of our traders or investors got hurt in this, and I hope you guys
I
made
hope
some
they're none of
money.
the 10%.
Exactly.
Okay, earnings front, we have retail earnings season starting here this week. So, you know, you just when you think you're out of earnings season, the retailers start reporting here. The big one they reported here this morning is Home Depot. HD is trading up here in the pre-market. It sold off ahead of the earnings report yesterday. One of your weak stocks, you know, despite a lot of other stocks being pretty strong, it was down almost 3 points. Now it's up a buck and a half here. Spencer, tell us how Home Depot did.
$1.60 versus $1.58. Revenue of $23.15 billion versus $23.05 billion. They also raised their fiscal year 2016 EPS guidance to $6.33, which was the estimate, and they reaffirmed their sales guidance.
And there you go. Home Depot here trading up a buck and a half. I'll tell you, technically speaking,
130.
130 just looks big.
Yeah. Yep, I was just going to mention that, and there's not an exact number there because the last three highs, I'll just give them to you, 3010, 3013, 3064. You did just go just a little bit over 131.09. That was a pre-market high. But you see three daily highs right here in the 130 area. You know someone's trying to wiggle out in the 130 handle. You also had some highs in that area in October as well as late September. So that's your big number. Trading about 90 cents away from it, Home Depot, 129.10, your last print.
Let's look at the other one. Last night, so we had one big earnings report last night, and it was a good one. AAP, which is Advanced Auto Parts, is trading up 20 points here in the pre-market on their report. For up 14%, they must have blew it away.
$1.73 versus $1.71. Revenue 2.248 billion versus 2.2 billion. So a beat on both the top and bottom.
This is a
Stock
tough
up
one.
20 points.
Yeah, I mean, did they do a
You're
split?
chasing it. I mean,
No, they didn't. They no
they
split.
also have a bunch of upgrades on the heels of that, and it did rally for 4 days before selling off yesterday. So
You trying
well,
to
here you have a stock that everybody hated before Trump got in, and now all of a sudden the stock has got two-thirds of its losses back from the last 2 months. Long term, I'm ringing the register. Short term, we saw in a video, we saw a lot of things. I mean, these moves are crazy and they seem to continue sometimes. So I don't think I'm coming out here shorting it, but I'll tell you, if I was long this thing, I'd be ringing the register.
164.38, that's your pre-market high. See if you can get there. If you do and you get above there, then you could take it to the long side. If not, we'll see if people are ringing the register here. We haven't traded up in the 160 handle since looks at early or mid-September. I'll give you one daily high here. It's that coincides with where we're trading. 63.97, that was your high on August 24th.
Also reporting earnings here this morning. A couple of retailers, like we were saying, Dick's Sporting Goods and TJX both reporting here. Let's go to the Dick's report here first because it's trading down $2.50 in the pre-market. Dick's was straight up yesterday. It did sell off towards the end of the day. They're closed kind of weak. Now they're hitting the stock a little bit here. But these retailers, it seems like every time these retailers start dipping, there is people there buying it. And I'm not going to fight that tape. I wouldn't be surprised if Dick's actually finds buyers here too. I haven't even looked at the numbers yet. Give me the numbers and then I'll give you whether I think the buyer is going to jump in or not. What are the numbers?
So the Q3 EPS was good, 48 cents versus 42 cents. Revenues 1.81 versus 1.77 billion. So they're both good there for the Q3 numbers. Q4 numbers, or fiscal year numbers, I should say, fiscal year EPS, $2.99 to $3.11. That's in line. Q4 EPS, $1.19 to $1.31. That's the range. The estimate was $1.32. So the Q4 EPS coming lower than the estimate. That is my guess.
Stock is down 4%, but I saw a Dillard's report that was disappointing, and I saw them come in and buy the stock right back up. There was a couple other retailers that reported disappointing numbers, and they bought them back up. So that's been the trend, to buy the retailers on the disappointing earnings. There's lots of – we always talk about overhead supply here, Joel, but there's been lots of trading action between 55 and 58. So what would you say? If you don't say overhead supply, what would be the opposite of that?
Underneath demand.
Underneath demand. So that's a good one. I like you, Joel. So we're going to call it underneath demand here, and I think it's going to find buyers everywhere under 58.
Yep.
That's just my own thoughts here, but I still think, you know, I'm a buyer of a pullback on Dick's Sporting Goods. That's my own, just my opinion.
58.18, that was your low on Friday, so I'd keep an eye. I have not hit that in the pre-market. My question, do they have much of an online presence at all? I'm not really that familiar. To me, that footprint for those stores is just way too big. I think they got a lot of additional space that maybe they could consolidate. But right now, we're just looking at the short term. Last print, 58.75. Yeah. Friday's low, 58.18.
Short term, I like all these companies. Long term, I hate them all, if that makes any sense at all. I don't own any retailers of the traditional type in my investment portfolio because I still think, you know, long term, Amazon's eating everybody's lunch. But that being said, short term, these stocks are back in favor. They have been since Trump got back in. So, you know, we've seen the moves in Kohl's. Dillard's had a not great report, and boom, they bought that thing right back up. So that makes me just think that the flow of capital right now tends to be into these stocks. TJX now is a little bit of a different story because there are those discount ones that were actually doing really well. I was actually in a TJ Maxx there over the weekend there. I don't go in stores very often, but I was up in Utica, went in the TJ Maxx up there with my wife and kid. My boy takes everything off the shelves, all the toys,
what
and just kind of destroys the place.
Utica, Michigan?
Yeah, Utica, Michigan. Up in your neck of the woods. Well, not exactly your neck of the woods, but.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there was a Utica, Canada as well.
Not out, Utica, Michigan, up there, just doing a little bit of shopping, and nice area there. You know, there's lots of nice areas just outside Detroit. And TJ Maxx, that's where I was. I saw a lot of people in that store shopping, so, but here's, talk about the earnings report.
They didn't report yet.
Oh, we're waiting on the TJX. I jumped the gun here, Spencer.
Yeah, you did.
All right, well, we'll come back to TJX. It's trading up a little bit here in the pre-market ahead of the report.
JD?
Yeah, let's go JD.com.
All right, Q3 EPS, 3 cents versus 6 cent loss. Estimate revenues of 9.1 versus 8.86 billion. So looking good there for JD.com.
Stock trading up almost $2 here in the pre-market, 7%. Overhead supplies, name of the story here, though. Stock's been going straight down since, you know, it's Chinese and Trump doesn't seem to be helping any of the Chinese stocks. Getting a nice lift, I'll say $26. That was the old neckline from the old head and shoulders pattern that was back September, October, November. I think it finds resistance up at 26. I haven't even looked at the pre-market chart. What's the high?
Pre-market high, 25.65. We've backed off.
There.
Yeah, just a little bit from there. Yeah, 26, you have that one high, 26.04. That was from November 1st, and then 26.44. Just a tough chart here. You know, after getting pounded like this and then, you know, making a new two-month low and then getting a rebound. So I don't know how anxious buyers are going to be as opposed to some people saying, whew, I'm glad we got this good report. I'm going to lighten up a little bit.
I think I'd lighten up here too. Just there's a lot of overhead supply here. Exact opposite chart, really, to the one that we just looked at, which was the Dick's Sporting Goods here. Mobileye, MBLY, is trading slightly up. Have we got the Mobileye report?
I got Q3 EPS 19 cents versus 18 cents. Revenue of 94.9 million versus 89.5 million. And up 2.5% last I checked.
Looking at the stock here, 100 shares has ticked to 40. It was trading down, though, on a little bit of volume, but we're talking very light volume here so far. So Mark is still trying to digest this report and figure out whether they like it or not.
Yeah, boy, you've had a wide range over the last three sessions. Nice pop up. I think to see continued upside, got to get through 41.08. That was yesterday's high. below yesterday's low of 39.30. Look out. You got a $2 drop to 37.37.
And then just the last couple of reports here of interest. Teva Pharmaceuticals, T-E-V-A, trading down a buck here in the pre-market on their numbers. Teva's one. You know, the pharmaceuticals had the big pop originally with the drugs, but the drugs kept going. The pharmaceuticals stabilized, and some of them actually pulled back. So they weren't nearly as hot as, obviously, the financials were. What are your thoughts here? You look at this Teva chart. Well, Spencer, give us the numbers first, and then we'll let Joel jump into the technicals.
Q3 adjusted EPS $1.31. That beats by 3 cents. Sales 5.6 versus 5.73 billion. Q4 adjusted EPS in line. Q4 sales in line. Fiscal year adjusted EPS in line. Fiscal year sales a little lower.
Stock trading down a buck in the pre-market. What are your thoughts?
Now, there's three lows at 40 and just under there, so I use the lowest of those three lows, 39.59, 39.69. Need to hold there or else you're looking a buck drop to 38.60. Coming back on the upside, if you could rally a little over a dollar here. The close was at 41.03. DC1 is mentioning here a Yahoo article about Amazon getting into the drugstore business, which would not be a good thing for, I guess, CVS and Walmart.
Did I not just mention that a week ago, remember? Didn't I say that? Can Amazon get into the drugs?
They can get
I said that on the show. And then we were looking at CVS and WBA starting to slowly take hits after the CVS. So like 3 or 4 days ago, I said, what if Amazon gets into the drugstore business, drugs business? They're listening to me.
You're ahead of it.
They watch this, maybe they listen to the show.
Esteban, speaking of retail, big bullish spread, would bought yesterday on Amazon here. Been going down, but getting hit hard of the whole Trump rotation, coming up on $700. Big move since earning $150. Maybe give yourself a little time. Get any kind of rebound here in these stocks, any kind of 50% retracement will get you the money. I just don't know if it's stopped going down yet.
Okay, let's just talk here a few other stocks. Well, let's talk about the Amazon, the Facebook, the Netflix, and the Google, because these stocks have obviously not been in favor since Trump has gotten in. These stocks have been hit pretty hard, actually. I mean, Facebook was down another $6 or $7 yesterday at one point in time. Amazon lost another 20 points. You know, what do you think here? Like, this has been, you know, very, you know, pesky trends here where they've been buying the banks, been buying a lot of other stocks here, but yet they're selling the traditional ones, the ones that they were buying with two hands last year. Do you think this trade reverses, and when do you think that happens?
Not putting too much pressure on me here.
I want to know if I can safely buy Amazon, Joel. Tell me.
I mean, selling tech to buy financials on an anticipated interest rate hike that hasn't happened, I don't know. I just don't know if that's the best move. And that's exactly what's going on. Facebook has had some downward momentum since its last report here. Big moves up. I mean, you just got to wait for, you know, some kind of technical formation, making a new low for the move yesterday. I can't say there's anything I'm confident trying to pick a bottom in Facebook. Amazon, same thing. New low of the move yesterday. You need at least one or two lows in the same area, a little bit of consolidation, and then a pop. You got to also think that a lot of these companies have just reported earnings. What's going to be the driver? Upgrades or something like that? Same thing with Netflix, probably ready here to fill the gap here down to 106. I think Nick, after the earnings, put on a credit put spread. I hope he got to hold it. And then with Google, let's go with the Googster. You know, same kind of thing. New low of the move yesterday. Looks like 720 area has some support yet. So not willing to call bottom yet in these stocks.
This is just called crowded trades. And, you know, these were very crowded trades alongside. Everybody wanted these in the investment portfolio. And it's that natural shaking the people out, get the weaker hands out to get stronger hands in. So you see this, you know, in stocks that are going up, up, up for a long period of time, they'll go down quickly. And that's what we're seeing, you know, happen. A lot of people have hated the financials for a long period of time. And people are jumping in them now with two hands, you know, thinking that Trump might come in and, you know, repeal Dodd-Frank, which I don't think is going to happen here. So I think it's a lot of hope, you know, a lot of people jumping in here. And I think if you're coming into some of these moves, you're a little bit late here now. You're coming here short Google at these prices. I think, you know, you're late to the party. If you're coming here buying Bank of America over 20 bucks after it was 16 5 days ago, I think you're late to the party as well. That is the definition of chasing. I've never made money chasing in my 17-year trading career. So not a chaser. I'll wait for some stability and then reanalyze it, but the train has left the station on all of these trades, and that's why I'm hands off.
All right, let's just do two stocks from the chat here, and I really want to get to investor 777. He's from St. Petersburg, Russia. He's asking about Vulcan Metals, VMC. Nice Trump rally. Dennis, I have a definite technical take on this one. What's yours?
You've jumped. I don't know because I don't follow the company, so I'm not sure if that was an earnings report, the gap, or if that was just because of Trump, that big move. It looks like a Trump move because, you know, materials too. So it probably was just Trump when it went from the 120 up to the 130 very quickly there.
Yep.
Got 2-3 days of consolidation here. So now you got to look, okay, if you take out the low, which I would say from 3 days ago, we won't look to that low after the Trump day at 131.83. You start to get concerned that, you know, the bears might be starting to take control. If you take out the highs, 138.18, then it starts to, you know, start to think of bullish here. So I'm sitting here on my hands because you're kind of right in the middle right now.
I'll still put that 131.83 in there as a relevant number, Dennis, because the other numbers were at 278 and 246. So almost 2 inside days in a row. I keep it 132. I'll just call it, even though it's ahead of that 131.83 level. That's just a kind of the consolidation. On the other hand, you have two highs at 130, just under 136. So look for a break out of that, you know, that consolidation after the big 2-day bump after the election. But looks like it's pausing here, and see which way it breaks out of that consolidation. Also from the chat, from Matt here, HASI, and I can honestly say I've never traded that stock before, HASI.
I've never heard of the stock.
Hannon Armstrong Sustainable here, 1949. I don't know. I mean, I see good support here just above the low of the move, a couple low. I'd like to see it stay above 19 and a quarter. Your 3-day low, 19 and a quarter. Your 2-day low, 1938. That's my support area. Like to get another close over 20 as well, 2012.
Trying not your friend, though,
yep,
here.
There you
You're
go.
Really
good
fighting
point.
The tape. 23 bucks, got killed, comes back. You usually get a natural bounce after a stock gets killed, and now a little bit of a resumption of the down move yesterday there. So that is concerning to me. I think there's overhead supply like crazy in this thing. So I'd still lean to the downside despite knowing absolutely nothing about the company.
All right, DC1 just snuck one in there. Zebra, ZBRA. Oh, nice bump. Is this Zebra Technologies? Nice bump up near 70, but boy, oh boy, you had two lower highs and two lower lows. Sure like it to stay above yesterday's low of 65.69. Of course, first thing you want to look for is it getting green on the day. 66.81 was the close, 67.12 the high.
Yeah, Zebra is 70 bucks, I'll say. If this thing gets anywhere near that, there's all kinds of resistance up at that area.
Nice, nice call there. Yep, I see that on the daily.
2 minutes before we get into the imbalance numbers here. 13Fs, though. We had lots of filings coming out there last night, the quarterly reports here. And just looking here, Buffett is really getting bullish the airlines. He took new stakes in American Airlines, Delta, United Air, and Southwest LUV. So all four of those stocks really getting a pop here as Buffett puts a big money into them in the last 45 days.
Yeah, and look at that. I mean, I think Warren has been listening to the show and following our mode of technical analysis here. Buying on weakness here, if he was buying over the last 45 days, you know, put him here in this area. Nice pop. It's just a question of whether or not you fade this move here. Pre-market high, 45.62, up $2. I don't think I could be buying into this one.
No.
I instead would look for some potential resistance. And on the monthly charts here, I see 3 monthly highs right around the 46.5 to 47 level. So wouldn't try and short ahead of that. Let's see if you can get to that area. That look, 3 monthly highs in a row should be good resistance.
This is the definition of chasing here now. UAL. back in August. Well, everybody hated these things in the middle of summer. Remember, everybody's coming in. Look at July. UAL was $37. Now you're coming here and buying it at 65. It's back near its, you know, two-year highs here. So just because Buffett jumps in, Buffett was in somewhere in the last 45 days, so he's in a lot lower than this. And now it comes up, goes another 2 points up. I mean, all these charts are the same. American Airlines has been straight up. I mean, this is classic definition of chasing here. You might get a blow-off top, you know, where Buffett, everybody comes in, oh, Buffett said, I got to get in, and the little guy gets in, and that's the top. So not saying jump out here and shorting these things, but if you put a gun to my head and said buy or sell, I would say sell all day long.
All right, let's just take a look. UAL sprinted to 65.29. Haven't been up near this area in quite some time. Got a level, though, for you. April high of 2015, 65.85. So we'll see what happens in the 65 handle. Boy, they are just throwing symbols at us here, Dennis. IWN, and I wonder if he meant IWM. But we'll,
no, there's two of them. IWN is the one, and then IWM, so there's two of them. IWN doesn't trade much. IWM trades a lot more, so you might want to do the technicals just on IWM. They're both Russell.
Okay, got a great move here. I guess Trump is going to be supporting these issues. Let's take a look at the daily charts here. I think Nick followed these, too. Is this an all-time high here for these issues? Let me see here.
For the Russell 2000?
No. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, IWM. Yeah, new all-time.
Yeah, it's probably as close to it.
Yep.
Boom. Yeah, I think it is.
130.26. You got a whole number trading a little bit down in the pre-market. Let's see what happens. You certainly want to take out that 130.26 high and have it keep on going. Yesterday's range, you have a little bit of a gap. 128.39. After that, could have a little bit of a four-point tumble to 124.55.
The opening imbalances are going with what we saw in the trend here in the pre-market already. I'm seeing major sell imbalances in the bank. So you got some profit taking. Goldman's already down $2.50 here today. I mean, stocks aren't going to keep going up forever. I'm not saying this is the turning point here. We saw this a couple days ago, and they came right back buying them again. But 784,000 shares to sell in Bank of America, 182,000 shares to sell in Wells Fargo, which is the craziest move, might I say. You know, where everybody hated this stock. Like, and wanted to throw it out there a week and a half ago before Trump gets in. They've bought Wells Fargo now all the way up to a new 52-week high, or at least a new high for 2016. So forget about the fake account scandal. Forget about all that other stuff. Forget about, you know, their branding, anything like that. They might as well stop running the commercials for this, try to help their brand, because looking at here at 2016, absolutely insane.
All right, and boy, oh boy. I mean, they got the imbalances. They're hitting their spoos go up. Kind of mixed, so it's going to be a tough one. And that way, I'd
spoos go up no matter what. Okay. Don't they? Like, here you can go, okay, well, now we're just going to buy FANG today. So whatever it takes, we'll buy stocks. We'll buy more than we'll sell, and that will continue to drive the market up. So spoos go up no matter what. But you have Facebook, you know, Amazon, Netflix, Google, all stronger here today. You have some of the other stocks, some of the defensive stocks trading higher here that were getting the yield plays that were getting hit here for the last 3-4 days are bouncing back. And then you got the banks. And you got stocks like, you know, the metals. Yeah, you know, I'm looking here. It's just, you know, at X trading down here, 2.5% of the pre-market, a Co's trade down. So this is the type of market that it's in. They buy something, they sell something else. But when the dust settles, the S&Ps go up anyways.
Do we have an 830 number here? Because we just got a rip-roaring rally. Now we're up 6.25 here.
Well, we had imports and exports.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And we're just exporting now, right? We're not importing
anything, Joel.
Under the Trump. Okay,
yes, Joel.
I just wanted to make
sure. At least
sure.
In January.
All right, 833, Dennis. Let's see here. Jimmy A is deregulation. That bullish for banks, man. I'm just not a fundamental expert on
it
that.
Is but it, how much deregulation are we going to get? Everybody thinks the banks can be able to do whatever the hell they want. We're going to go back to the way it was pre-financial crisis, and that's not going to happen. You saw Barney Frank talking on CNBC last night, and you know they're going to battle this. I mean, if he comes in trying to repeal Dodd-Frank, there's going to be some major resistance. It was put in there so that the banks couldn't just get crazy with their lending again. I mean, that's the whole point of the Dodd-Frank, is to try to bring some of these, you know, lending and not have financial crisis part two. So you repeal it, the bank's just going to go back to doing everything they were doing before the financial crisis, and that's not good. So I can't see how he's going to end up, you know, getting, you know, Dodd-Frank, you know, out, and, you know, all of a sudden the banks are just going to be able to go crazy like the Wild West again. It's not going to happen. No. So, you know, this huge rally of the banks is awesome and everything if you're long. Fantastic. Good job. But I'd be ringing the register because I definitely think, you know, well, just my own opinion, but I think the market is very irrational here.
All right. It is now 8:34. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to bring on Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads, and he's been busy the last few days trading away. So we're going to take a quick break and bring in Nick.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Alcon, along with Dennis Dick, Spencer Israel, and Nick Shaheen. Nick, how you doing here 1 week past the election?
My neck still hurts from this whiplash, whatever we saw. It was insane. This is one for the books. Write it down, because you're going to want to remember it like a couple of decades down the line. You say, I was trading that day, or that week, I should say. We last week on your show, we did talk about the blind side as far as electing Trump. I wasn't surprised by that. In fact, I was saying he was going to win from a long time ago. But what I was surprised is that the reaction, all of them, The severity of the downside, the quickness of the upside, and what happened there on after, especially with the small caps and the banks.
All right, let's start out with the banks, the financial ETF here, XLF, just a little over $20 a few days ago, got over $22 yesterday, got a few downgrades on some stocks. Is they just going to shrug that off and turn around and go green? Bobby Bid wants to know what platform these charts are coming from as well.
This is TradingView, a fantastic little machine. I think they have a free version. They do have a paid version. And I don't know how much it costs. I get mine for free because I do share their charts and people ask me about it. But it's TradingView.com. It's really good.
All right. So what are we looking at here in this?
So this is a really long-term weekly chart of the financial. I put circles at the kind of level from which they broke out, which is about 20 after the split they did, whatever they did there. So you can see that this goes back to the 90s as a contentious pivot point. So for me, I'm short financials right now and probably be green after this morning's open. I went long them short term via cheap calls, shorter dated calls, and then I bought longer dated puts for which I was sitting on. I just can't believe in a run this big, this fast to maintain its severity, especially that it was a reaction to one event. Just a few days ago, he was the Antichrist, and now he's the second coming of Christ, Trump, that is. And he will, they already gave him credit that he will be able to fulfill everything at the same time. Now, I think it's too much too fast, so it's got to breathe at some point and prove that it can use this level as ongoing support, because it has been pivot. Technically speaking, I want to see them bounce off of it several times, or at least defend it away from it to go to new all-time highs. But I just can't believe it can contain at this speed for long.
All right, XLF, just an incredible move. You look at some of these daily ranges before the election, but, you know, you see what happens in something like dry ships or whatever. I mean, anything can happen, but, Nick, it gives me a little more comfort that we're on the same side of this trade. You're probably going out a little bit longer than me. Let's talk other Trump trades here. What else is on your radar?
The U.S. dollar, if you remember last week, I said the one thing I know after the elections, I don't care who wins, the dollar is going to go higher. And it did. I threw in a chart of the dollar. We saw it coming from, you know, the 96.5 on the DX there. So it had a couple of milestones that got it there. And then from there, it was just a reason to go, fundamental reason to go, or at least reaction to a fundamental reason to go. So technically speaking, it doesn't surprise me. It's high up, which put pressure on oil, which muddled the reason why oil was selling off. I don't think it was so much of OPEC expectations, because the market was still lined up with a lot of support where oil was. So I am long oil via credit put spreads that are way out and way lower than current price. So I'm not too worried about them, knowing that there was full support below. So they defended it, and today it's up $3 in the face of flattish, maybe a little red dollar. But the dollar has been very strong, and it puts downside pressure on oil.
And when did you put that oil trade on? Yesterday?
When everybody hated. No. I committed to it when oil fell, and everybody said, oh, it's going back to the 30s or whatever. And I looked in the market, and I was like, I don't see it. So I'll throw credit put spreads out there.
Other Trump trades, like take a stock like X, it's had an incredible move. You want to, you know, comment on any of these infrastructure or material plays?
You know, I want to short all of them, but I would hate myself for doing it, like Caterpillar and all of those, because I just can't believe that he's going to make that big of an impact this fast. I mean, he's promising something we haven't done here in the U.S. in a long time as far as growth. And what is he going to be able to do? We can't spend that much money. Look at rates. Yeah, that's a Trump trade, the rates. So it's like, I called it a TTT, so I don't have to say his name all the time. So it is the fact that everybody's doing the same thing. They're buying banks, they're buying biotech, which is probably the only one that really deserves it, because they've had their neck stepped on for so long by the fear of Clinton. So they're buying materials and infrastructure, and they're selling everything else. So if I were long all the other stuff and I haven't booked profits, I'm a pig. If I'm not booking profits in everything that's ripping right now, I'm a pig. So if this was rotation, you need to start rotating back a little bit. I think you mentioned, Dennis, you mentioned that you wanted to go Amazon a little bit. So how about a credit put spread with about a 15% buffer from current price that yields about 8 to 10%?
I like it. Set me up.
There are plenty of them.
Okay, set one up for me.
So if you go to December, I'm not going to even look at it, and I'm going to let you find it on your own. I'm just going to tell you where.
Tell me where to look.
Yeah, okay. I would look at the December.
Let me guess. Nick, you're going to go something like 650, 660, something like that.
You can go to 630s and find one that pays 8% on a $5 wide spread. Or you can jump out to January and even go lower for about the same yield. I'm looking for yield and a high percentage of success. That's my parameter in something that I believe in. You can do that in Google, Amazon, Facebook, Apple. You can find these trades. They're out there.
Go down 15% in these. Obviously, if stocks go that low, then you got to reevaluate there. But what do you do in a situation, because you set these up all the time, I just want to know what you do in the situation that the stock actually does go down 15%.
So you have several options. There's defense you can do. You can buy shorter dated debit put spreads a lot higher to buffer and give you time to react. You can be okay owning them and be put to stock and keep the premium. If you're willing to own Apple at 95 and it hits 95 and that's where you set your credit put spread, what's wrong with owning a little Apple at 95? And you can just close it for a small loss. You can turn it into an iron condor, although I'd never sell the credit call spread, the upside risk after such a discount, meaning the stock's pretty much corrected in 3 days. I don't put credit call spreads above them because that'll be, quote, chasing down. Trades like that are out there. That's cautiously catching a falling knife. However, there are some knives that I don't dare catch. Like Tesla and Netflix. So even though the markets love them, I don't. So I don't put my money at risk with them. So it's kind of like you got to find your theoreticals, your macro. If your macro is healthy, then you try to catch these falling knives. But technically, there's risk below, especially on these megatech caps, which puts pressure, which puts the same risk on the Qs. But I think if the markets hold up, they should hold up. I mean, at some point, people will realize we're selling gold to buy promise of a gold mine to hit on all these other guys from here. In other words, if I'm not on board these things that are running, I'm not going to get on board right now. Like the small caps, 12, 13% in 4 or 5 days. Do I chase it here? Heck no. So, you know, pick your rotate with or against the trend, once it becomes so extreme, it becomes an easier decision than to be contrarian just for the sake of being contrarian.
Nick, I want to talk to these shippers here again. We talked them at the top of the show, and I don't know if you've been watching this, but dry ships, DRYS, it went from $5 to $45, and now it's 53 here in the pre-market. I'm not even kidding you. It's up another 10 points here again today. The other ones in the sector, SHIP, is trading up a cool 30% here this morning. We got EGLE trading up just 6% only, I guess. But TOPS, TOPS, is up 29% here this morning. These things are just monster moves. These have no individual company news here. They started moving on Trump, and now it's just got completely ridiculous.
I have no explanation for that. I mean, look up the dry.
I don't know if anybody does.
look up the dry ships back. If you put 5 years or longer, it was in the thousands. It was in the thousands.
Yeah, because reverse split so many times.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I wouldn't waste. I don't know anything about them internally, and a chart this weird. I mean, there's nothing you can say about it. If you're on board, wow, good for you.
On board, good job. Books of profits.
The problem is
right.
$5. It's gonna be $100 by the time we get done the segment.
If I was the problem is that if I was long this thing, there's no way. I'd be, you know, even on like a
I'd have been gone at $6 or $7 on the first day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So but they might have something to say about oil in fundamentals. I don't know how it works. Do they hold oil in the ocean? Do they just ship oil from A to B? I don't know what they do, but it might say if they're making that much money, they have too many ships out on the water filled with stuff, so getting paid by clients. I'm not sure.
I don't think they're making any money. Dry Ships was talking about. We got to go back and look at the trusty Benzinga Pro, because I've saw some headlines go around dry ships talking about bankruptcy. And here we are, all of a sudden the stock goes from 4 to 40. You know, like these things aren't making money. These things don't even have a sniff of money.
So,
but it doesn't matter.
So in a bizarro world.
Bizarro world, that's what it is.
Let's go
it
to
did
bizarro.
A 1-for-15 reverse split on October 27th. That's always fun.
Let's go to bizarro world in dry ships. There's an open gap from 86 to 120.
So you say we can go to 120 before we go back down to zero.
So we can buy 120 call or 100 call and catch in the middle.
There's no calls. There's no options.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. I'm out.
And there's a point to be made here, too. And I don't know if you notice this as well, because you're obviously an option trader, so you're not lucky. But I'm an equities trader. I will tell you, when there are no options available in a stock, it allows the stock to move so much more freely. You will see crazy moves on stocks that don't have options. Because imagine, you know, you had a whole bunch of, you know, $10, you know, options out there, like $10 calls. Well, everything that goes 15, people can sell the stock against the calls. So, yeah. You know, that could put a lid on it there. But when there's no options, and I don't think there's options on any of these shippers out there. Correct me if I'm wrong, chap, but I just looked quickly at dry ships. I'm assuming there's probably no options on any of these things. That allows stock to move a lot more freely.
So maybe they think they're going to be moving stuff around now that Trump's going to revive the world. I'm not sure. So I'm not making a political statement on the Trump thing. I'm just saying that when somebody prices in the future of an event, Trump, all at once, that somebody has employed all the hopium at once. So where's the incremental buyer going to come from? So now every expert you see on CNBC or I read here on Benzinga, and there are articles that I get emailed every day, I read it and everybody agrees that banks are higher, this and that. And every time this happens, the opposite tends to creep in. Like when gold approached 100, parity, it's breaking the dollar. Boom, I went long and it didn't. So everybody is on the same side of the boat, so to speak. And it just, where is the incremental buy going to come from? So I just can't chase momentum this late. You know, if you were on board the small caps, wow, you know, bank, book and replace if you still want to be long them. If you're not booking some profits, you know, that's reckless behavior.
This dry ships, I'm just going to went and looked at the Benzinga Pro. February 26th, 1-for-25 reverse stock split. So going back 8 months ago. But not only that, then they get another 6 months and the stock price has fallen so far, they got to do another reverse split. So on August 5th, they do a 1-for-4 reverse split. Not only that, that one was only good for 3 months because the stock fell too far again. They had to do another 1-for-15 reverse split back on October 27th, just last month.
Yeah, there's
so
one in,
this is
there's
a stock
one in
that
March.
Continuously falls so much that they have to continue to reverse the reverse stocks, but could just keep it listed on the exchange. So
I
now
see
you have
three.
This ridiculous move. You have this, there's three reverse splits there.
March, August, and October.
Yeah, one for 25,
yep,
one for four, and one for 15.
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
That is not a company I want anything to do with long term.
That's a casino.
Yeah, it's what it is. That's all it is here right now. Can it go? You're right. Can it go to 100, 120? I mean, it's reverse split so many times. You know, who knows where the hell it could go?
It makes it muddy. You can't study it. I mean, unless you know it inside and out and you know the industry inside and out. We most of us, don't have edge on it. So you're going to have to take a leap of faith. And although the volume, you know, I don't know how the split affects the volume, but geez, you know, this is, I think we've talked enough about it.
Yeah, I think we have.
Move on.
Yeah, Spice has mentioned that prices don't make sense on TOS. They're not making sense to us either here. From the chat, from Bobby Bid, will Tiffany's hit $80 once again? TIF.
TIF.
Tiffany's. You know,
the
place you shop all the time.
Oh, yeah. You got me right. No, TIF, just if I'm looking at the last, say, 7 months or so, it's at the upper end of, you know, what I would call a regression line channel. So if it loses a little bit here, what's it doing in pre-open before I put my foot in my mouth there?
I know. You got it with these stuff. You got to really be careful. I mean, it's flat here at 78.10. I don't like that candle from yesterday.
So we have earnings coming up, right? So this is earnings week for retail. You already talked about how people are grabbing retail after crummy reports. So I would see how they react to the next earnings or two and probably play a lottery ticket on it. And just from looking at the chart without looking at the open interest, if I were guessing, and usually on earnings, it's just a pure guess, the reaction to it. Short-term reaction to earnings is always a gamble. I don't care what you say. Even if you give you the P&Ls, you can't guess how they're going to react. Case in point, Facebook, Google, Amazon, Tesla, they report a fantastic report. They actually delivered profits and they couldn't hold the pop. All the other ones got sold. Disney, they missed on everything. They wooed up, you know, $2 or 2% or whatever it was. So see how they react to the earnings and then play Tiffany accordingly.
We've been on the line with Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Joins our show every Tuesday to give his insights into the market. Nick, thanks a lot. Always fun and informative speaking with you. We'll have you on again next Tuesday.
Can't wait, guys. Have a good day.
852. Dennis, anything changing there in imbalance land?
They've gotten bigger, so it's usually what you see from 8:30. They continue to grow. Financials weak. I mean, you got Bank of America down 1.5%, Morgan Stanley down 1.5%, Goldman Sachs down over a percent, Wells Fargo down 1.5%. Bank of America, $1 million to sell. Wells Fargo, $236,000 to sell. Going the opposite direction. Alibaba, $51,000 to buy. Again, you're seeing, you know, this trade here. This was one that was weak. So what was weak yesterday is strong here this morning. It doesn't even matter what sectors or whatever. It's just the fade trade is on here this morning a little bit. Fade trade has been, you know, not good for the last 4 or 5 days, though. So whether it's going to be good here 4 or 5 hours from now, I don't know. I'll tell you it's working here this morning, though. Alibaba's up $2 in the pre-market, 51,000 shares to buy. I do see a small sell imbalance in Twitter. Twitter is one stock that has actually done pretty well since Trump has got in, maybe because he likes to tweet so much. But Twitter is actually one that actually doesn't look that bad in chart.
Going up on its own merits instead of just takeover.
A little bit, yeah.
A little help
from Trump.
I just want to mention here in the Bobster, 87.88, that was your low in yesterday's session. Earnings gap, you almost got there. You missed it by 11 cents. 87.73 would have fulfilled that gap from the earnings. So hopefully you just were playing 88 on that one because you missed filling the gap there by 12 cents. And who knows, may get back down there soon.
Just a couple other stocks here. We want to get the TJX numbers here now. They did come out here. At least the stock's trading. Spencer, what TJX say at 8:30?
Yep, they came out at 8:35. About Q3 EPS, 91 cents versus 87 cent estimate. Revenues 8.3 versus 8.22 billion. So beat there on the top and the bottom. They also had, they see fiscal year 17 adjusted or regular EPS, $3.46 to $3.48. That's at the low end of the range. The Q4 EPS missed by 4 cents on the high end.
Stock bouncing around, 16,000 shares have traded. $76 was the high, $76.04 the high yesterday. High 3 days ago, $76.08. So I'd say 76 still remains major resistance for this stock. I don't subscribe to it as one of the other retailers. It kind of trades different because it has been stronger than some of your other traditional retailers, talking like the Kohl's, like the Nordstrom's, like the Macy's, where those have been very hot lately. TJ Maxx really hasn't been because it wasn't as cold as those other stocks were before that.
76 on the upside. Dennis gave you a great level there, a pair of highs there. On the downside, I'll give you 74 yesterday's low, 73.96.
855 here. Just want to look through on a couple upgrades and downgrades. Actually, the analysts were pretty busy here overnight. We've got a lot of ratings here, so if there's one specific one you want us to talk about, let us know. Just a couple that I highlighted. I do see FedEx getting downgraded here at Stiefel. Stock is trading down in the pre-market. It's been going straight up here, it seems like forever, since Trump got in. 170 up to 186 now, and you start thinking on FedEx, and you start talking, is that a new all-time high for FedEx?
It is. It just snuck over that.
That's been a long time coming for an all-time high for FedEx.
June of 2015, you hit 185.19. You exceeded that yesterday, going to 186.53 with a 186.16 close. Keep an eye on that all-time high close, 186.16. Institutions, that's what they're going to be looking at.
I bought it back when everybody hated it around 120, and I've sold it. I sold it a little bit too soon. I sold in the 160s because I thought, you know, the bounce back was enough, and I reanalyzed fundamentals at that pricing point. It looked, you know, like it was a little bit more fully valued. Obviously, there's more value still they're finding in this thing, but I don't know. It's just starting to, this Trump, you know, rally here, and again today it's trading down with a downgrade, but I think it's kind of like a double whammy because it's been one that's been very strong, and the Trump stocks are starting to come down, so I wouldn't be surprised if you do see a little bit of continued weakness at least off the bat for FedEx here. Also, Hertz downgraded here at Morgan Stanley. We know HT Zebra is a stock that got absolutely massacred on its initial report, and then it bounced substantially that day too. And now you've had this quiet 3-4 days of consolidation.
Ooh, boy, look at that.
Where it is just a sleepy giant here. And battle, epic battle between the bulls and the bears here on Hertz. Joel, who do you think is going to win this battle?
Gets over $30. I think you go back to fill the gap. If not, just keep an eye on those series of lows here. I know Mr. Icahn bought a lot of stock on that down day. Couple quiet days. Keeping an eye on 27.50. Your two-day low is 27.48. Question here about Walmart. Walmart earnings. I'm not sure when we have those. Are they
couple days? Bobby Bid saying in 2 days.
Well, Mr. Buffett lightened up on his position, right? In his 13F. I mean, filled the gap up to 72 3 days ago. I guess you just got to trade the range there between 70 and 72. 72, that was an area of congestion in mid-September.
Major overhead supply up there.
Yep, looking at resistance there. All right, 857 here. We're going to go to Spencer, who is going to wrap up the show and preview tomorrow's show.
Tomorrow we got Wally Olapede and Tommy Lackey Jr. So looking forward to both those guests on tomorrow. If you missed any part of our show today, catch the whole thing again on YouTube and SoundCloud and iTunes and Stitcher on our podcast. The show is uploaded there in about an hour or so, but again, available on YouTube pretty much after the show ends. Don't forget to check out Benzinga Pro. If you want a free 2-week trial, just go to pro.benzinga.com or you can call us up. It's at 313-723-2000. Mention you're a listener of the show and get a discount on a premium annual membership. Please always remember that all the information, material, and content from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. We're going to let you go a couple minutes early today. Hope everybody has had a good pre-market and hope you have a good rest of your day. We'll be right back with you right here on Wednesday morning.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.